This podcast may contain spoilers for whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
That's right, and you tuned in to another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. Hey, man, this one is a good pick, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a great pick. This is a great pick, bro. So,
okay.
So first and foremost, before we get into this, I do want to say that it's not often that I get a chance to see something new and be so, you know what I'm saying, into it, right?
Uh-huh.
And first, you know, I'm an MMA guy. I'm not a huge MMA guy, but I'm a casual MMA fan. So when I found out that, you know what I'm saying, you told me Conor McGregor was in this, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, you know. I know you said that you ain't like the way that Conor McGregor had, you know, did his thing or whatever.
But, no, I just said, I said I hate the way he walked through this shit. Like, I'm like, yo, do he really walk like that for real?
Yeah, you know, that's his signature walk.
Yeah, that shit is trash. That shit is right. Hilarious to me.
So, what you failed to mention, you know what I'm saying, was that the love of my life was in this.
And who may that be?
Jessica Williams.
Oh, yeah, my girl from Shrinking.
Yeah, I know her from Two Dope Queens, old podcast, you know what I'm saying. She's also a comedian. But yeah, man, so needless to say, I'm sitting here watching this movie, and first and foremost, the only part I didn't like about this film was this nigga Post Malone beating niggas up at a bar. That's not even his get down. Okay? Yo, this nigga's a hippie. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not fighting nobody in real life. Now, he probably can fight. I don't know. But just off of his persona, like as far as the music and the, you know what I'm saying, from what I've seen, the nigga's a hippie. So, you know, he's all about, to me at least, all about peace, smoking weed, drinking beer, you know, having a great time. But his image was perfect for that role, so I will give him credit for that. But then, you know what I'm saying, I see this lady just walk in and she's asking about some guy, and then I look at the screen, and lo and behold, you know what I'm saying? The screen lights up. And I'm like, wow, the screen got bright as hell. And I wonder why, because Jessica Williams is on the screen. You know what I'm saying? Looking all good and whatnot, as usual. You know what I'm saying? Looking lovely, delectable, all that great stuff. Fine piece of chocolate. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here like, damn, why did he not tell me Jessica Williams was in this movie? I'd have watched it a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? I'd have watched the first one if I knew she was in this one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm already tuned in. Then, you know, start seeing my man Jake Gyllenhaal pop up. And I'm like, okay, Jake, let's see what you got. And then, you know, my man Jake, you know, he come in, Post Malone, like, nah, I'm not going to fight him. So now I'm super interested. Because why won't this nigga... I just seen this nigga punch the fuck out of somebody for a good minute and a half. Like, I'm talking about straight bow, bow, like full punches. This nigga Jake Gyllenhaal walk in half this nigga size, maybe a fourth of this nigga size. You know what I'm saying? He ripped. Shout out to... Because you did say that. You said he definitely got in shape for this. Shout out to Jake Gyllenhaal because he was cut up.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I know fighters. You know what I'm saying? Fighters don't give a fuck how big or small you are. But usually the smaller fighters, you know what I'm saying, they get done in by the bigger fighters. You know what I mean? They last a little bit. They last a couple rounds. But that one good punch, it'll take them out. So I'm like, yo, like, why won't he fight him? And then he like, bro, you know who this dude is? And then he start talking crazy to the audience. He's like, yo, I beat everybody else's ass. But him? Fuck that.
Yo, that was hilarious.
Like, yeah.
Somebody to say it. But somebody just said, I will whoop anybody ass in here, but I won't fight him.
Yeah, I was like, yo, this nigga must have hands. I'm like, he must be dangerous. Needless to say, you know what I'm saying, he end up in the parking lot, and the nigga stab him, and that was the worst thing that nigga could have did. Now, this is the thing. when you stab somebody, usually you win, right?
Yeah.
Not with what's his name?
Dalton.
Eldridge Dalton or whatever his name is. So not with Dalton. Yeah. Dalton was like Elwood Dalton, that's his name. Not with Elwood Dalton. Elwood Dalton is he's gonna get stabbed, but he's gonna beat the shit out of you after you get stabbed. The one thing about a weapon like a knife is you might stab somebody, but if that motherfucker gets stuck, you done for. You know what I'm saying? True. And he stabbed dude, and that was the only thing he got off. And he got the shit beat out of him. So I was like, I respect that. And then, you know, Frankie come up to him, do a little coercion. Hey, why don't you come to this place and, you know, kick some guys out for me? He like, nah, I ain't fucking with that. And then the whole time you wondering, why don't this nigga like to fight? Now, you just seen this nigga just beat the shit out of somebody. But I'm like, why don't this nigga like to fight? And you eventually find out why he don't like to fight, which you really don't, but you kind of do. The whole backstory thing, I'm not even mad at that, right? Like, usually you want backstory. But it wasn't necessary for this movie.
Well, the thing is, it's like, when it... I feel you, and I hear everything you're saying. And this is not a thing where I was like, I didn't like the movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was certain parts of the script that I didn't like.
Right.
That was just kind of like a little funny or whatever. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal really kind of gave this movie, him and Jessica Williams, gave this movie like life.
Yes.
And Connor did a good job for his first film as well. He really was just Conor McGregor. You know what I'm saying? They just said you Knox. But the thing is, this movie to me is a demonstration of a movie that we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie I'm talking about is House Party. Like, when what I mean by that is, this is the correlation. I'm gonna bring it full circle. The original House Party. Now, I'm not saying the original Roadhouse is a classic. I just watched it for the first time the other weekend. But in some people's eyes, it's considered a classic.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the reboot of House Party, we both enjoyed it. And like, I was just like, yo, they would have been, in my opinion, better off just like naming it something else. And just kind of, because they took pieces of the original House Party and put it in a new one, but they really kind of made it their own. You know what I'm saying? Right. A new age, like, part of it. It's the same shit with Roadhouse. Like, when I went back and watched the original, the only thing that's really like the same is Dalton has this reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the original, they don't really explain it like they do in this one. And so basically a dude come up to him, yo, I'm having some issues with security type of thing. I pay, which is crazy, because the original came out like 89 or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. The money is the same. He offers him $5,000 a week or whatever, and he would get 20 grand. I'm like, yo.
Okay, real quick question. In the 89 version, did he immediately accept?
He said that he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is not the same, though. It didn't take a fucking getting hit by a train for you to change your mind.
Cool.
No, it was in the same.
$5,000 in 89 is a lot of fucking money.
Exactly. He ended up taking it. Like, it was in the same conversation. Like, it was more like, yo, I want you to take this job. Nah, I'm good. Oh, man, you know, blase, blase, blase. All right. I'll be down there. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like that. It was like, yeah.
In 89, if a motherfucker tell you $5,000, you going. I don't care what you say. That's a shitload of money in fucking. That's like if she would have told him, "I give you 50 G's."
Yeah, because the inflation and all of that.
Yeah,
that but would be equivalent. Yeah, but like, it's no MMA stuff. Like, and like, it to me, it's just like, I think what they tried to do with this movie is to bring those people who are huge fans of Roadhouse and like give it the same name for a nostalgic type of feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like you know, you show your kid, yo, I watched this movie when I was 18 years old. You know, let me show you. Let's see what the new one looked like. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of like one of those situations because it's like I said, it's like House Party. It's the same movie, but it's not the same movie.
Right.
And so, but I ended up watching this one first, and then I watched the old one, and I was just like, yo, like this shit is not even remotely the same movie. So it's just kind of crazy. Like, yeah, you got the Dalton character, but like Jake Gyllenhaal is, first of all, Jake Gyllenhaal looked imposing in
absolutely
this movie. Patrick Swayze, yo, the whole joke of the movie
Patrick
is
Patrick Swayze has never in his life looked imposing whatsoever. He's never looked menacing. He's never brooded, none of that shit. Like that nigga, he's never sulked nothing, bro. So I'm with you, yeah, for sure.
Yo, the whole like gist of the movie is everybody kept saying, "Oh, I thought you would be bigger."
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing of the movie is everybody keep telling him, "Oh, I thought you would have been bigger." Because, like I say, he got this reputation of you know whooping ass, and then when they see him, you know what I'm saying? You seen what Patrick Swayze looked like? Rest in peace to him, But nah, like the only thing with this movie, like I felt like some of the script.
Jake Gyllenhaal was built like Tookie Williams in this movie.
Yo, you stupid. He was not built like Tookie Williams.
I'm serious, bro. That nigga was huge.
Look, man, he was big, but he wasn't no Tookie Williams.
No, I mean, I know. I'm exaggerating.
I know what you're saying,
just
though.
Saying. Yeah, like he was big as shit. Like him fighting Conor McGregor would not work. He looked like he was out of Conor McGregor's weight class.
And with that being said, like Conor McGregor is still like to be his. See, the thing that makes him look, nah, I mean, it ain't make him look that he is. But he's so short.
No, I'm talking about size-wise,
like Conor got some mass. It's just
for sure. His body like, frame, the way just, Jake Gyllenhaal looked though, like I'm just saying his look. I'm not saying he was, I'm just saying like just the way he looked like he was out of Conor's weight class. Now if you put any amount of money on it, I'm taking Conor all day long. I mean, truth be told, Conor was beating his ass through this whole movie.
Oh yeah, Bushmaster, man.
You know what
same
saying?
Situation. It's the same like, situation.
Yeah, Conor was beating his ass. It wasn't until they included weapons in this that Conor got his ass whooped. If it was just like hand to hand combat, Dalton would have never made it. I ain't gonna lie to you.
First of all, I think that shit was in Conor McGregor's contract, like, yo, look, you know who I am, right? Ain't no way this dude can beat my ass for real.
Hey,
so
the notorious, bro.
And he said that in the film.
Yeah,
he's
like
the
that.
Notorious Dalton, you know, like,
so the notorious Conor McGregor. that's why I'm saying, like, as a casual MMA fan, that's why I like this so much because, like, they incorporated that in the movie. And the funny thing about it is, like, so when you see the actual MMA fight that he's in, and you realize like what type of fighter he is, like he rages out and then he just beats the shit out of his opponent.
But do you know about that though, right?
So that's supposed to be his friend, right?
Well, no. I'm not talking about that part. We'll get back to that part. Okay. I'm saying when they would go to the flashbacks of him in the MMA ring, that was quote unquote like real. Well, this is what I mean by real. They filmed that during like the undercard of an MMA fight, so the shit would look real. So those are real fans. So people got to see this being filmed.
Like he actually fought.
Well, not like a real fight. I mean, it's still I'm saying is
you
like
you saying like it was filmed
the crowd
the actual
like yeah
MMA event. Okay, all right.
Cause the crowd is real.
That
like,
fucking
all of
flying
that.
Knee to the head, bro. I'm like, yo, if Jake Gyllenhaal is really doing that out here, salute. That's crazy.
Now I'm not saying like I'm pretty sure that was all choreographed and all of that.
Yeah.
I just remember them talking about it because I remember it was all over social media.
Yeah,
and it was and I ended up saying that it was a situation where it was, you know, a fight. I don't remember who the fight was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But like, so they were like the quote unquote undercard, but it wasn't a real fight. It was just for them to film this movie, but they just basically filmed it in front of a real crowd that was there for an MMA fight.
That was smart,
Yeah, so it was like one of those type of situations. So I thought that was super cool, because when I first saw it on like Instagram or whatever, I'm like, the fuck? Like, why? Like, because I'm sitting there thinking, because I didn't know about the Roadhouse movie yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would Jake Gyllenhaal go out here and really fight MMA? Like, dude, like, you're like 40 something years old. You got a great career out here. Why are you fighting? So I didn't know. I thought it was real. And then, like, once the movie come out and then people get to talk about it, like, oh, so like that was that whole situation. But yeah, that was smart on Dana White's whole thing to even do that, because it's not a situation where the crowd is CGI like in Creed 3 and shit. Like, mm-hmm. no motherfuckers weren't even really there like that. And like, I think like the first couple of rows was real, but then like the rest was like green screened or whatever, and, you know. Yeah. And I just thought that just gave it just a real good feel, man. Even though, was it 3 or 4 flashbacks showing it? I think it was three. It might have been, it might have been three.
So, okay, well, maybe four, because I think the first one that you see is, you see two of them when he's asleep. And then you see, I believe, one of them when he's going to fight. And then I think the other one was when Ben had sat next to him and was showing him the YouTube video. So four, I guess you could say four. I wouldn't count the fourth one, but you could say four.
Yeah. And then when you get the explanation of like, why, then you realize throughout the where the last flashback, you realize why he had the reputation and why Post Malone, why Carter didn't want to fight him, was because, like, and then everybody knew going into the fight that they were friends, the guy that he was fighting. Like, everybody knew that they was cool, but he just blacked out. And that's what he was. Yeah, and that's why he was afraid to quote unquote fight, was because he was like, yo, if I get so angry to the point where I can't control myself, I literally like killed my friend, because, you know what I'm saying, I can't control my anger when I'm fighting, basically. But yeah, like you were saying, that was his friend that he was fighting in the ring, and it seemed like everybody knew that they were friends, but even he couldn't tame the beast or whatever. Like, but I tell you, the shit that pissed me off in this, like, I thought the script was cool, but there was one thing that really pissed me off, and that was the one scene where the black guy, I don't remember what his name was, but this mug called Conor McGregor Bucko. I'm like, yo, y'all don't get the fuck out of my face. And nowhere on God green earth, the black guy is looking at another guy and calling him Bucko. Okay,
no, you know what? That's not really far fetched.
Yeah,
I know a few people who use the word Bucko.
Yeah,
not like he used it. They use it in more of a satirical term, but yeah, they definitely use Bucko. Man. Like, nuh-uh, Bucko. That's not how we got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. But nah, they use Bucko though.
Man, can we move on?
Can we please move on? For sure. That's hilarious. Nah, man, look, so watching this, right? Like I said, man, I'm not mad at this movie. This is exactly what we need right now as far as action film goes. Right, this is a raw, straight to the point, to me, classical action film. It's some dialogue in there, but for the most point, like, nigga, they get into it. And this is, to me, I think this is why this movie was made, because it's like, yo, we get all of these action films and we get like, well, quote unquote action films, because a lot of them really ain't action. It's either superhero movies or sci-fi. It's always mixed up in something else. And then you get these films to where, you know, you want fights, you know, you want good fight scenes. And I mean, the last one to come out was what, John Wick? And even then, it wasn't really good fight scenes. It was just the fact that these dudes were just shooting hella guns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the fact that this was like real, you know what I'm saying, like straight to a hand-to-hand combat, and you know, it was mixed in with a little bit of, you know, other genres, with it was some romance in there, of course, because you know he had this love interest, Ellie. It was a little bit of drama with Charlie Charlie and her dad, Steven. You know what I'm saying? Which, fuck Steven, you know what I'm saying?
Ah, I'm say that. Alton is live.
Bruh. Man, he's sitting there talking to Charlie outside from the bus stop. This nigga Alton come out, bro. I'm like, this bitch. Bruh, Franklin Saint Daddy? Man, hell no, man. I was like, bro, whatever happened to him, I'm with it, bro. Hopefully, I was hoping he got shot in the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he's stupid.
Yeah, nah, like, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to him, though, man, because, you know, he did a great job in Snowfall. But he also did a great job in this, even though he was on film for, what, maybe a minute and a half, maybe two.
Yeah,
minutes.
He wasn't on here long, yeah.
Yeah, good. I'm glad he wasn't. They knew what they were doing. But Charlie, shout out to Charlie.
Great addition to the movie.
Yeah, Hannah Love Lanier did a great job, bro.
Yes.
Did a great job. She played an awesome, awesome role.
She might have been my favorite character through this whole shit.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is that she's not in the movie too much. You know what I'm saying? It's not really like focused around her. Like, she's in the movie just enough for you to understand how complex this character is. And when I say that, I mean Dalton. Right, she's in there just enough for you to understand, like, he has a heart, he's a good guy, all of, you know what I'm saying, through and through. Like, he really cares about people, you know what I'm saying? He's against, you know what I'm saying, people bullying other people, like that type shit. He's a fighter, he's a pure fighter, but he's also, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, a human being. Like, he really wants to see people do okay. And so, you know what I'm saying, he's going to this place, he's, you know, talking to Charlie, and they mixing it up and they kicking it. And then the scene comes where it's a bunch of guys outside and they causing, you know what I'm saying, some trouble. Charlie walks outside with, I don't know if it was a bat or a pipe or whatever it was.
A bat.
So she walk outside with the bat and she like, yo, get the fuck on. Like, y'all move. And, you know, they talking shit. And then here he come outside and they like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing that the nigga that just beat them up the night before or the day before, you know what I'm saying, is in the bookstore kicking it, which was crazy. Oh my god, what is dude's name? Oh, what the fuck is his name, man? Shoot. Is it Chad Guerrero? No, that might not be him. I don't know what dude's name was, but he was the best bad guy out of all of them. As far as the dudes in the biker gang, this nigga, first and foremost, Dalton says, hey, you know what I'm saying, y'all, you know, chill out, you know what I'm saying, get out of here, y'all causing the ruckus, just go ahead and leave. You know what I'm saying, the leader, he talking crazy, whatever.
Are you talking about Dale?
Is Dale the leader?
Yeah, he the one that ended up getting eaten by the alligator.
No, what's the dude that got his arm broke? Fuck Dale.
You talking about Mo.
Mo, yeah. So, hold on. Let me know if you can find him. Let me know what his name is, please. But
come on, Mo.
Yeah.
What is it? Arturo Castro.
Arturo Castro. Yes, bro. Perfect for this role. Okay, perfection. Now, I've seen him in a bunch of different films as well and TV shows as well. He's a great, like, comedic relief. But that was perfect for this movie because, first and foremost, the interaction, you know what I'm saying, him and Dale going back and forth, and, you know what I'm saying, he tell Dale, yo, get your boys, you know what I'm saying, y'all go outside. Dale like, yeah, as soon as we end up, you know, open your ass, he like, well, shit, let's take it outside. Of course, Dale don't want to do that, so he start breaking pool sticks. So this nigga say, yo, is that y'all bikes outside? This nigga Mo pop up and say, yeah, mine's the red one. On the head with the bees in it. Bruh, like, that shit was just so unexpected, bro. That shit was so funny because it was so unexpected. You didn't expect this motherfucker to really just like pop out like, yeah, mine's the one in the red with the keys in it. So he go out there, you know what I'm saying? They get into it and he just like whooping ass or whatever and he break Mo's arm. So,
No. Hold on.
You can't
skip over this part if you're gonna tell that whole scene, because that whole scene is hilarious, because the part that you skipped over was, so when he get them outside and he's like, he's asking Frankie, he's like, is there a hospital near here? And she was like, yeah, it's like 20 minutes, you know, maybe 25 minutes if, you know, if there's traffic. And then, and he was like, yo, he told Dale, yo, you really don't want to do this, man. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm just butchering it right now, but like, it was just so funny that this dude is like asking him, like, oh, he said, y'all got health insurance?
He calm as ever.
Calm as on the way. He's like, hey, do y'all got health insurance? Like, really good health insurance? Bro, what's the tip?
First of all, stop there. If somebody asks you, do you have health insurance? Fight over with you win, bro. I don't want to fight you. Why do you need to know if I have health insurance? Are you going to shoot me? Do you got a bomb on you? Are you going to stab? Like, I got questions at that point. What type of question is that to ask somebody when you about to fight?
Yo, that's crazy. That shit was hilarious, man. He was like, do y'all got health insurance? And then asked Frank was there hospital by. And then he beat the ass up and then was like, Frankie, do you got a car? And she was like, yeah, not for those assholes. And then this motherfucker drove them to the hospital.
No, the whole time before he even asked Frankie about the car, this nigga Mo gets up and he said, shit. I think he broke my arm. He said, I did that intentionally. And that's when he asked Frankie that she had a car. He was feeling bad for my man, bro. He was feeling real bad for my man, bro.
No, the part when Mo seen everybody got knocked out and he was the only one left, he was like,
oh. Hey, man. Shout out to Arturo Castro, bro, because that was very much needed in this film, bro.
Hey,
first and foremost.
And then when they was riding down the road, he was like, another bump, guys.
Everybody in there fucked up. So you know what I'm saying? That happened. But the other part that I found funny with him, bro, is like toward the end when he about to go, you know what I'm saying, do the big fight scene or whatever. And he talking to Mo, he like, yeah, you know, he asked him questions. He like, I mean, I'm the last one to find out anything, but shit, you know what I'm saying? They got a meeting at such and such. Like, he just starts snitching. He already knew what it was. He didn't want no more smoke, bro. That nigga still had the cast on his arm and everything. He ain't want no more smoke, bro. I was just, hey, man, this was a real good movie. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to put it. This is just it was a good movie.
Now, I will say one part, and I'm not trying to do that whole thing where I'm being picky, Nick, and all that type stuff.
No, dude.
So the one thing that really tripped me out was the whole Bucko part, but okay, whatever. But the part where we finally meet, you know what I'm saying, the man that's in charge when it comes to Ben Brandt, right?
Oh, man.
So they pull up all beat up and shit, and, you know, Dale couldn't show up because he's still in the hospital with a concussion. Mm-hmm. And so my man is getting shaved. On a fucking yacht.
No, hold on. Wait. Before you even continue. That was a valid question from Mo, bro. That was a very valid fucking question that Mo had, bro. I don't understand why Brent got mad at him. Because that was a very valid question.
I'm like, yo, why? like, who? Now, what the part that would have really made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Was if he would have punch the dude that was saving him. Now, he kept telling him.
I thought he was going to throw him overboard.
I thought he was, too, when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, first of all, this is all you getting cut up because of you. This is a dumbass idea to get fucking shaved on a yacht that's fucking rocking. Like, and he kept telling him light wrist, and all this type of shit. And then when he got up and he punched, and then, it's not his fault either. But then he goes,
yeah, it's the captain's fault. It's definitely the captain's fault. Because first off, before they even started, when he's sitting back about to get the shave, Mo like, boss, don't you think you should wait till, you know, turn, like, we get the land for that? He like, nah. Trust me, this guy's good. You know, I just told him to be loose with the wrist. Then he like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everything would have been great if my captain would have never told me that we was going to be on clearer waters. I'm like, yeah, that's a little, you know what I'm saying? Like, first and foremost, you already see what's going on. For you to sit in the chair and hold your neck back is bold as fuck.
Yes.
Because there's no way I'm allowing any, first and foremost, I don't allow nobody to shave me at all, as y'all can see. Second, if I was, it won't be on no shit to where it's bumpy and we jumping. Nah, man. If he'd have made the wrong move and hit his Adam's apple, it's all over. The movie is
all over.
30 minutes.
It's all over, dude. Like, yeah, that is a bold move, man, to be trying to get. And I just thought, personally, I was like, yo, like, this was just, like, so unnecessary. Like, we really did not need this. Like, because it's like, who does this? I don't know if it was like a macho thing. Like, yo, I could get shaved in any situation. Like, no, dude, that's dumb as fuck. Like,
see, I think the purpose of that whole point or that whole part, for especially that scene, was to give you the illusion that Brent is like this badass, you know what I'm saying, like super tough antagonist, at least to give you the illusion, you know what I'm saying, like not necessarily let you know that this is the guy, but like we know that this is the guy. But I think that was to, you know what I'm saying, like show people, like, or have people think this is the tough guy. You know what I'm saying? For the big fight scene. Not knowing that eventually we're going to see Knox come in.
Yeah. You know, and
I think it served its purpose pretty decently.
Yeah, but then once we find out that he's just one of those dudes that's the son of a boss.
Yeah, then it becomes a stupid idea.
Yeah, because then it's like, oh, now we see. Like, you just want to appear bad and appear that you got this shit out under control because your pops is locked up right now. Mm-hmm. So he's the person that's really the man in one of those situations where he's behind bars and he's still calling shots. But, and then you understand, like, and see, this is what I wanted to get in, you know what I'm saying, in depth with you with. It's the whole fact of when it comes to Ben. So Ben is this, you know what I'm saying, like I said, the son of a guy who, you know what I'm saying, really about making money, moving drugs and all this type of shit. And they really wanted everything on that port to be able to, you know what I'm saying, run their enterprise clean and, you know, make money, clean money, all this type of shit. But the Roadhouse is just one place that will not fucking sell. Like, they will not sell.
Remember, it was more than just the Roadhouse, though, because the bookstore had something to do with it, too.
No. The bookstore that had nothing to do with it. The reason they burnt the bookstore down was to piss Dalton off, to get Dalton's attention.
Oh.
Yeah. They didn't need, the only thing they needed was where the Roadhouse was.
So basically, and they were just like a casualty of war.
Yeah. That was a casualty. That was just to send Dalton a message, but it ended up working in reverse because the whole thing was Dalton was about to leave. After that whole big bar fight, he was like, fuck this shit. This shit ain't worth it. And then once he see that the bookstore burnt down, he's like, nah, y'all done went too far now. They ain't got nothing to do with this. And they did that to get his attention, to really scare him, but that shit worked in reverse.
Well, let's talk about why he was about to leave.
Because okay, well, hold on. Well, we got it. Hold on. Okay. So then they want the Roadhouse. Right, because they wanted for, you know what I mean, it was port situations, and then also they wanted to be able to build something else so they could make a whole bunch of money, well, clean their money or whatever, whatnot. Now, when it comes to Frankie, for number one, had a very, very, very valid reason. And that's something else I like that they did with this movie is you look at the original Roadhouse. I think Keith David was the only black person in that movie. He didn't show up to like an hour 45. So they're like, you know, they just basically ain't no black people in it. This one, they kind of give you.
It would be in the original Roadhouse. Oh, yeah, that fits. That, for, hey. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
He was a bartender.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why, but it works though. I get it. It works.
Now he didn't say much, but anyway, so.
But I, for some odd reason, I feel like he had one scene though. I feel like he just had one scene where he told niggas to get out the bar.
Oh man,
he had to have just that one scene. Let me tell you something. Y'all can't be in here fighting and shit. Get out my bar. And get out now. Like I can see that now. I can see that, bro. That's all he needed. He ain't need to talk no other time in the movie except that one time.
Whew, how about you, stupid? So,
he gave an impression. In my head, it sounded way better.
So to come to find out that her uncle got that place in the 60s, and it was like one of the first like black owned businesses like in that part of the Florida Keys or whatever. So it's monumental to her and also really to
the area.
You know what I'm saying? The area to black people to, you know what I mean? One of the first like black owned businesses, and she was like, he had to go through a lot just to even get the place. So she was like, I'm not just gonna sell out. And I'm pretty sure they offer her way more money than she probably ever would have made off of the place, but it has sentimental value to her. So for her to go, so I guess this is a very, very long-winded question. For her to go to Dalton and don't tell him what's going on. Just like, yo, like, I want you to come clean it up for me, whatever, whatever. But in all actuality, it's like, yo, I need to bring an outsider in that has no idea about this whole Brandt family, don't have no idea these people trying to buy my bar. You could actually end up getting killed by just, it, like, how do you feel about, like, that factor of it, of her not telling her and the sentimental value of the Roadhouse and why she didn't want to sell it?
I mean, it makes sense at the end of the day, right? Like, so when you see the reaction that this dude is getting, first and foremost, the main thing is she never went there to go get Dalton in the first place.
Yes.
She went there for Carter Ford. You know what I'm saying? Because she heard that he was the toughest motherfucker out there. She sat there and watched the fight where he was punching the fuck out of dude the whole fight. And dude, he obviously didn't know how to block, but he was punching the fuck out of him and kicking him. So she like, yeah, like this dude to get it done, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? This motherfucker know how to get it done. Then in comes this dude half Carter size, and Carter like, I'm not fighting this motherfucker. So now her intentions are raised, and she like, who is that? Because that might be exactly who I need. And then when she finds out that this motherfucker really got the skills, because she see what happened in the parking lot. And you know what I'm saying? Like, he patching up his own wounds and shit. I mean, she looking at this nigga like Rambo. Like, oh yeah, this is the perfect fucking weapon. So yeah, no. Don't tell him nothing. Don't give him no nothing. Let him know you just need some security at the row house. And she probably thinking too, if he there and he beat the shit out of a couple people, then they probably go back, tell a couple more people he beat the shit out of them. They realize this not the place to be. And they leave out. And you, as you can see, like, he ended up developing a nice little team, and he teaching, I forgot what dude's name is, but he was teaching dude how to, you know what I'm saying, spot out the perps and fight them and kick them out and all that shit.
Billy and Reef.
Yeah, he went to go get Reef and shit because he seen Reef could handle his own. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he built a pretty decent security team for the business. It was just the fact that nobody figured that Brent would be, you know what I'm saying, egotistical enough to, you know, be like, fuck that, send in Knox.
Well, no, that's not what it was. See, I remember Brent wanted to handle it on his own and didn't want nobody to know that he was struggling because he didn't want it to get back to his dad that he couldn't handle business. His dad called Knox. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, because remember he showed up and Brent was like, who the fuck are you? And he was like, your dad said there's trouble in paradise or however the fuck he said that damn shit.
See, yeah, and I kind of missed that whole part then because I thought that, well, you know what? Now that you said it makes sense at the end when Knox was on the speedboat, I mean on the jet ski, and he was like, don't let that crazy motherfucker on the boat. So it makes that makes sense.
No, let me I know why you missed it, man. Mm-hmm. I know why you missed it. Because you were so caught up in what I told you what they were talking about on the Dan Levitard show, right? So when I told you that they said on the Dan Levitard show, they was like, yo, they said Dan was like, yo, Conor McGregor got ass implants, right? So you so caught up in the whole scene, right. You know what I'm saying? Look,
please move on.
You were so caught up in Conor McGregor with that dumbass walk, butt-ass naked with some socks and some shoes and his phone ring. He pulled his fucking phone out of his fucking socks, and that was Ben's dad.
To clear everything up, I was not in that scene whatsoever. No Diddy. Okay? No Diddy. I was never caught up in that scene. I don't even remember that scene. So just to let y'all know out there, Scoot Brunson was not caught up in that scene. Okay? Because that's what I was talking about. But those are his opinions and his opinions alone, and they do not reflect the views of Viewers Anonymous podcast or so. No, sir, I was not that. That did not. That did not. That did not put me in the trance so much so that I did not see that shit come. No, I didn't even realize that shit. I might have got up and walked to go get some water during all of that shit happening, which is why I missed everything. But
oh man.
So I'm thinking that, so this is what I thought. I thought that he called Knox, right? I thought Knox worked for him. He called Knox. Knox came in, did everything. Once he figured out that Knox couldn't get it done, he knew already how crazy Knox was. So when he said, don't let that crazy motherfucker on the boat, that's when I was thinking, oh, he just know that this motherfucker's crazy. I didn't know, like, this nigga's pops called from jail to you know saying, bust a move.
He called from jail and he called him because remember when he first showed up driving the damn yellow Lamborghini and shit, well, no, the Ferrari, he showed up to that house and that's where, you know what I'm saying, the dude was like, man, who the fuck are you, bucko? Yeah. You know what I mean? All that little stupid ass shit. They didn't know who he was. And so he whooped their ass.
Was up in a, well, never mind, because it's in Florida. So that might have made sense.
Yeah, so, and then, remember, he was sitting there, laying on the lounge chair, eating fucking sandwiches and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's fucking bro, man. And then Ben was like, yo, who the fuck are you? And he was like, well, your dad called me in. He was like, because, you know, I heard that there was trouble in paradise and you couldn't handle the situation, whatever, whatnot. So, no, he never called Knox. He didn't know. He didn't even know who Knox even was.
Right.
And so, but then he knew that, I think he might have knew of Knox's reputation, but he didn't like necessarily like, I guess he like just heard about him. Like one of those situations like, but no, see, I'm thinking of the first one. Because the first one, Dalton was a myth. Like everybody knew his name, and everybody feared him, but they never showed you why. In this movie, you know, you could watch YouTube and you could, you know, see the fight or whatever. But I think with Knox, I think he just kind of knew and heard about Knox, but just never met him before. So Knox was not his idea. Even in that conversation, he was like, yo, there's one more thing I want to try. before you go in and do what you do. Because he wanted, like I said, but he still wanted.
I think he knew who Knox was, though.
Well, when he showed up, he was like, who the fuck are you?
I mean, I think Knox knew who he was. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Knox knew him. Yeah. No. Knox knew who was. You talking about Dalton or Ben?
Yeah. He knew who Dalton was.
I don't know if he knew initially.
Okay, so this is the only reason I'm saying that. Remember when they initially go to the bar and, of course, Conor McGregor is ripping open gates and all that crazy shit. And then once everything happened, they like bar fight and then everybody fighting. And then Knox is just walking through. He's like, Dalton.
Yeah.
Dalton, you know what I'm saying? He calling him. And then he had like whatever he had said to him. I guess it seemed like, you know what I'm saying? Like he knows who this dude is. He knows what he's capable of, but they had like some kind of, well, he basically was talking to him. There wasn't really no back and forth, but he basically said something to him, and then Dalton was like, well, shit, let's find out.
Yeah, I think once he got there, he probably saw the video too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I will say this about this movie. This movie and the first one is everything I hate about dudes and being a dude. These are the most obnoxious fucking knuckleheads I've ever seen in my life. Like the start of like just the regular fights, you know, like when he was coming to clean the shit up. Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It's the main reason why I don't like going to bars in the first place. Dudes got problems.
Oh, like, sorry. Real quick, time out. Speaking of cleaning up. It's a scene in the movie where I think like it's the first like major fight in there, and like, you know what I'm saying, like they throwing niggas out before he went to go get Reef. It's like, you know, they doing all that shit. I think it was like his first night or something like that. Dalton, it was his first night, like tossing niggas out and shit. And it's a chick that was sweeping, and she was stacked up. She had the yams. You know what I'm saying? Yams all on the screen. Jeans painted on. You know what I'm saying? Just shit just thick, just sweeping, wet glass. I was like, man, that's a great scene. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't remember that one. But no, it's just like, man, just fights for no reason. Fuck the alcohol. I ain't trying to hear all that shit, blaming this shit on the alcohol. It's just like, that's why I be like, man, dudes will fuck up a wet dream. And it's like, and to sit there and watch that, I was like, yo, we look so obnoxious. It's like, I think like people in other countries, like just look at Americans like, yo, this is why America's in the situation it's in. Because that's, the sad part about it.
I'm with you too, though.
The sad part about it is, I think this shit really happened in places. I'm pretty sure there are bars where people just fight for no fucking reason.
Absolutely. I will say this, though, because there's one part of this movie that I hate when they do this in any type of bar setting, but nobody screams out bar fight.
And the bar fight. Not only do you scream out bar fight, but you turn around and punch a person you don't even know.
Yeah, like that they got to get rid of that trope, bro. They got to stop doing it, because that, to me, is, I understand why they put it in there, because it's like a classic thing for bar fights. But it's like, it's 2024, bro. We know it's a fucking bar. Let everybody fight. Like, just let dude, like, scream, like, ah! Like, he get, you know, he drink a beer and go, ah! And then punch a nigga. That, to me, signifies a bar fight. Like, you don't have to go, bar fight, turn around, punch a nigga, and this now the fight starts. No, that's not how it works. Like, if he would, like I said, if he would, like, took a couple shots back or chugged and start screaming and then punch somebody, that would have been more believable than a nigga just yelling out bar fight. Because first and foremost, as the people sitting around him, if he yells out bar fight, the environment is instantly hostile. Start swinging. Pick something up, hit somebody with it. Like, you already know that either you're going to be, you know what I'm saying, an agitator or a victim. Don't be a victim. Especially not to the dude that yelled bar fight.
Yeah, it, like, that's the one thing like that really, really like turned me off about this movie. because I know that it could be like real. You know what I'm saying? And that's just like, damn. You know, because like,
have you ever been in a bar fight?
No.
Really? What? No. Well, do you frequent bars?
No, I don't. Even like, dude, like. The last time that I frequent bars was when I was in college.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just like, and even then, like yeah, I would hit them up, but like, I mean, I ain't never fight. Like, it was always more, and I think that's because, like, West Virginia was more of a party town.
That's exactly where the bar fights happen. What are you talking about?
But when I was there, it was having no fights.
It was on college campuses.
Like it was like everybody was super cool. It wasn't no, you know what I mean? Nobody had no attitude really. You know what I'm saying? Like it was just really all cool for me. And well, my experience is nah, I ain't dude. I haven't been in a fight in so long.
Oh no, not recently. Yeah, not recently. I'm saying like just the bar fights. I've been in a few of them and they always happen on college campuses.
I mean, I could definitely see how it happened, but like even in this movie, like a lot of the fights started for just dumb shit, and it's just like, damn, like we're really that dumb, like, and like that's no, the no, one that
not we don't say we. Remember, this is Florida, so it's a Florida thing.
Let's
leave that in Florida.
Yeah, it was just like that was my biggest thing, but like I said, I mean, it's the other stuff. Like the whole thing of like, there's two things, so three things. That's one thing that really pissed me off about movies, right? Because it's the stereotype. The second thing that pissed me off about movies with stereotypes is like when you see like a dude's room, majority of the time it's messy. You know what I'm saying? They got to clean it up real quick before the girl come, and it always stink. I mean, even though, you know what I'm saying, one of my favorite parts at house party when the mom was like, clean this room. It smells like somebody put an onion in here. Hilarious. Now, but I hate that stereotype because my room was never dirty. Then the third thing is they always make it seem like in movies where when like the dude is left with the baby, like he has absolutely no idea what to do. Like he's just so dumb. He can't get the baby to stop crying. He don't know how to make the formula. You know what I'm saying? He, you know what I mean? It's always like this thing like we don't know what to do as dads and shit. So that's three things in movies that really be pissing me off.
Who was the dad in here besides Steven?
No, not in this movie. No. I'm talking about in movies, period. In general. Yeah, I'm talking in general.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about in general. Those three things happen. Like, dudes be fighting for no reason.
Yeah.
The other thing is the dude's room is always fucking dirty, and he can't clean up after himself. And the third thing is we never know what to do with a baby.
I only like, got one pet peeve about movies, and that's when obvious shit happens. Like, for instance, a nigga yelling bar fight in the middle of a bar fight and then punching somebody.
You really caught up on that part. That part gets me.
It genuinely pissed me off, though. I'm not even being funny. It genuinely pissed me off.
See, what pissed me off is what happened afterwards. He just punches this guy.
This
is a random
That's what I'm saying. That's like for instance, like I'm trying to think of another thing. Oh, when the girl is running through the woods, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And she trips. I know that's the horror movie trope, right? The obvious thing, you feel me, is he's still chasing you. So what do? They fall on the ground. They don't instantly try to get up and continue to run. This nigga is at least 10 feet behind her. Maybe 15 feet behind her. She turns around and crawls back on her hands and feet. And she goes, no, bitch, get up and run. He's not that close to you. He's not that close to you. You can still run. Just get up and go. Why are you crawling back and talking about no? Yeah, you're letting him kill you at this point. You've given up.
Yo, the all time, but the internet is undefeated, man.
Yeah,
all time is like when they say like Michael Myers or Jason when you ain't looking. Mm-hmm. It's like so you running. And then they go back and they show him when he's walking. And then when it's like when the camera's off from him, that motherfucker running like goddamn.
Oh, that shit is hilarious. Yeah,
that motherfucker running like you say boat out here. Yeah,
take the fuck off. But now I'm just saying, like, okay, you fail. We get it. Get up and continue to run. Don't fall and then turn around and stare at him while he's killing you. That's stupid. You know, it's just like when it's obvious shit in the movie where you know, like, this can easily be avoided. You know what I'm saying? When they hear a sound and, oh, what is that? Get the fuck out the house. Don't go look and see what it is. You don't know what it could be. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what this movie is. We do, not you. As the actor, get out. It's just the obvious things piss me off, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, too. But I mean, like I said, I never said like in the beginning that the movie was bad. It was just like a few things, like that whole bar scene.
Yeah.
The buckle thing bothered me. I'm sorry, it did. But getting yourself shaved on a boat, man, it's like, what are you doing?
Once again, obvious. It's obvious. The boat is moving. It's jumping. Water is splashing up on you. Why are you continuing to let this man try to shave you? And then got the nerve to get up and get mad every time you get nicked. No, you deserve to have your throat slit, bro.
Exactly. Like, exactly. But somebody that we did. So let's get a little bit into Ellie and her dad and shit. So the sheriff end up. Well, first he meets Ellie first, and Ellie's kind of like giving him a hard time about, you know, bringing in these guys after beating them up and stuff, mm-hmm. Giving her co-workers more work and all this type shit. He ended up running to her again after she patched him up. She did patch him up. But after that, she ran into him at some food spot, and mm-hmm. they had a little conversation or whatever. And so then...
Which was wild because they was talking about conks, and I'm like, who the fuck cares how to pronounce this motherfucker? The soup is good, bitch. What do you want me?
Yeah.
I don't care how it's pronounced. I'm eating it.
And then she borrows her ex boyfriend, which is a cop's boat, and take this motherfucker out and try to smash my dude in the middle of the fucking ocean and
now,
shit.
First and foremost, that's just something we're not gonna do. You're not putting me on your ex-boyfriend's boat. He's a cop like that.
Exactly.
Come on.
That's
crazy. That's like a girl coming to pick you up in her ex-boyfriend's car.
But it's like an Audi or something.
I don't give a fuck what it is. It's her ex-boyfriend's car. That motherfucker could be a pickup truck for all I care. It's her ex-boyfriend's car. No.
Yeah, that was super wild. So then he gets picked up. The cops want to talk to him. So they got him in the back of the car. So my man say, yo, they call me Big Dick. He said, well, I'm not calling you that.
Yeah, that's a wild name. Every time they said that, I was just looking at the TV screen like, pause, bro. Why is that your name?
But this is the crazy part. The crazy part is Dalton was like, yo, I'm not calling you Big Dick. But you know who called him Big Dick?
Everybody else.
Including Ben.
Because Mo said that. When I heard Mo say it, I was like, who? Like, why is that this nigga's nickname?
Like, nah, my guy. I'm not calling you Big Dick, man. I'm sorry.
I call you Large Richard. But outside of that, yeah, that's not happening. Why they call a nigga like Richie or something? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Richie. Richard.
Yeah, Large Richard is to me, that's a name you put in the movie. That's like an absurd act. First off, this nigga's name was Elwood Dalton. So like, yeah, Large Richard ain't too much of a long shot.
Yo, you stupid as fuck. So the sheriff is out there beating his ass and shit. And then you see this damn little mini pull up, and it's fucking Ellie. And Ellie smashed the shit out of my man. And you like, oh, I realized right there. I was like, that's gotta be his daughter. There's no way this girl that just works at the fucking hospital just goes smacks the fucking sheriff who you just realize is dirty. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? By that conversation, you realize, oh, you on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So then she goes to tell him the whole story about what's up.
So that's his daughter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd she get the accent from?
I think two things. One, it could have been the mother. Second one, he's like Colombian or something. If I'm not mistaken.
It didn't sound like a it didn't sound like a Spanish accent. That shit sounded like Eastern European. Like,
well, okay. So the actor that played the sheriff, he's from Portugal.
Okay, now I'm
she's Portuguese. So right. Yeah. So I guess his just wasn't as strong as hers, I would say.
Yeah, I'm just it's first off, it's already weird. You know what I'm saying? Because both of them being from Portugal, you know. Cool. But for your dad to not have the accent and yours is that heavy, it's crazy.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That's why I said maybe
that's over there in Europe, right?
No, Portugal is down in South America.
No, bro, Portugal is over there in Europe, bro. That's where fucking Cristiano Ronaldo is from, I swear.
Well, wherever it is.
So it makes sense now why her accent sound like that. Nah, Portugal is in. Yeah, so it's in Europe.
The only thing I can say is maybe.
No, it makes sense why her accent sound like that now. European, yeah.
So I just thought that, you know, that whole story, because she was the one who really kind of put it together for Doc. Because Doc went to the bookstore to try to figure some shit out, but like he was like, yo, like he kind of knew that Frankie was hiding something, but Frankie mm-hmm. wouldn't tell him, so he's trying to investigate this shit himself. Mm-hmm. But really, Ellie really gives him the whole breakdown.
Right.
Of like, you know what I'm saying? Being Brant's father is the one who run all this shit, you know, drugs, this, that. My dad works for the dad, and he gets locked up, and now he works for the son and all this type of shit, and telling him that he needs to leave and all this type of shit. So she was the one who really put all of the pieces together of telling him, like, what was really going on. Mm-hmm. But I thought that the whole kidnapping thing was wild. And I do like how they did put in the script how, you know what I'm saying, how I ain't calling him Big Dick either. How Dick was sitting there, how he was sitting there when he showed up with the boat and was like, yo, you look pretty relaxed for somebody who just got their daughter kidnapped. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that it was cool to put that in there and come to find out. And then he was like, double cross. And then he was like, with Ellie, I actually did get it. He was like, you kidnapped my daughter? Double cross again. Like, I was like, yo, these people stupid as fuck, hey, man.
First and foremost, he's a horrible father.
Oh, terrible. He's the worst.
Second question I got before we close out. Who was the random native man? Who was he supposed to be?
Are you talking about the dude that was the doc person?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was just there to tell us that, you know, they're not going to find the one guy. He was like, I tell everybody that the alligator ate the one dude.
The gator is not a myth. The gator is never a myth, first and foremost. Let's put that out there right now. The gator is never a myth. I don't care how many times somebody says it. If you hear it from enough people, it's not a myth.
You know who the Doc Master remind me of? He remind me of, I don't know if you remember, But I don't know if you watched like the first couple of Friday the 13th, where there was this one guy that was like, oh, Jason. He was like, Jason's out there, and he's got, like, that's who the Doc Master guy was. Like, hey, watch out for that gator. And they was like, oh, he's like, they're not gonna find that one guy because the gator got him. Like, yeah, like he was just there to tell you, like, yo, the gator guy.
Like, who is this nigga? Like, those things wasn't no, like, what does he have to do with anything in the story? He just happened to be the Doc Master. Okay, so that's cool. That makes sense. I don't know. Shout out to her uncle for Nate for buying the boat and naming it the boat. Genius. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Genius. That's all I gotta say. You know? I thought that was a very smart name for the boat.
I mean, I think so too. I think so too. People over, you know what I'm saying? Don't oversimplify it. You know what I'm saying? Keep it
absolutely
simple.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was dope. The name is just the boat.
All right, man. So are you ready to get into the coming soon?
Oh, we got to do Fire Flame.
I mean, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry, Fire Flame. I'm looking right at the video. All right, let's go.
Yoga Fire. Yoga Flame.
They got to start putting the names on these videos. So I like to start it off. First and foremost, the cast was amazing. Everybody did their job. Everybody was necessary except Steven and the Doc Master. The fight scenes were good. You know what I'm saying? I thought that really is what made the movie, was the action in it. Man, when that goddamn car almost fell on him in the water, I was like, oh, shit. That shit was crazy. I thought that was, you know what I'm saying? It was just good action out throughout the movie. And it wasn't necessarily all fight scenes. It was just the fact that, you know what I'm saying? Like, they did a great job pacing the movie out. The movie didn't drag. It wasn't super slow. It wasn't like the fight happened and then it dragged on or none of that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was timed out perfectly and necessarily. And I was like, yo, this is okay. So I definitely messed with it, man. I'm gonna give it a 4 though. Great movie. You know what I'm saying? Great story. I wish they would have went a little bit more into his backstory when he was with the UFC, just so we can kind of know what type of person this is that we're dealing with before it got to the fighting and shit. But I understood what they did, and we still got enough to understand. But I just wanted a little bit more from that backstory, but I'm gonna stick with 4.
Cool. I thought the cast was good. I thought that the funny thing about Conor McGregor is it's just like he was really himself, really for me. And I think that if he wants to continue this, I just think that, I mean, look, if he wants to, you know, you can go out here and you can try it, but I think you just need to, you know. Yeah, your name was Knox, but you still was Conor McGregor. Like, I just think you kind of just need to be Conor McGregor. Don't try to come out here and be all serious and shit. Just be, you know what I'm saying, who you are. The only issue that my main issue with this movie is I think the script was inconsistent. And what I mean is you can have, like, crazy parts, like I mentioned earlier, that really kind of turn me off, but you can also have things like when Charlie and Dalton was having a conversation and he was like, yo, where's your dad? And she was like, you know, he's at his other job, and said, you know, you can't make a lot of money off of books. And he was like, where's your mom? And she was like, she died last year. And he was like, sorry to hear that. And then she says, she said, it's okay. She was like, something about how life sucks or something like that. But she was like, the thing about it is, it's all like down here, it's always on a beautiful day. And I thought that was fucking genius. Mm-hmm. Like, because you look around, the water is beautiful, the weather is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, what she said was like a lot of shitty stuff could happen on all the problem is shitty stuff happened on a good looking day or something like that.
Right.
But I just thought that it was genius to say that, because it is beautiful down there and it has to suck to you know, to have a bad day down there, because it's like, dang, man, like, man, this day fucking sucks, but it's still a little beautiful outside. like that was like one of those situations. I thought that was kind of cool, and that's why I was saying that Charlie was very necessary for this film.
Yes, and
even the way they introduced her, you know what I'm saying, by trying to sell, like, talking about the tree in the middle of the road on the old bridge, mm-hmm. and trying to sell him a book. So, like I said earlier, she's my favorite character, but I'm gonna go a 3.5. Just a notch below you. I just felt like the script kind of went all over the place, but I do like the action scenes in this movie. We haven't got a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of great fight scenes. Like, I think with John Wick 4 was kind of like the last one, but it was just that gun fu shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It just kind of got like mad obsessive, but then it's kind of like I don't think. Nah, I don't think Keanu. I don't think John
falling down the stairs. That shit was crazy.
I don't think John Wick got his ass kicked enough. And Dalton got his ass whooped by fucking Knox. But you know what I'm saying, he found a way to, you know what I'm saying, end this thing. But yeah, I'm gonna go 3.5. But I think they did a pretty good job with it though.
I agree, man. Not a bad score. All right, man, let's get into the coming soon.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
All right, so this next episode, man, I don't even know how we're going to approach this, to be honest
with you. I don't either. I was just about to say that I don't know how this is going to go, but...
Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting one, nonetheless. The next one we are covering is the Freaknik documentary on Hulu. If you guys haven't seen it, please, please, please go watch this. I have a lot of things to talk about with this documentary. So I really can't wait to do this episode. This episode could really just the day for the recording time for this episode cannot come any faster, because there's a lot that I want to talk about surrounding this documentary. Excuse me, but nonetheless, it's a documentary that you should watch for sure. But stay tuned. We'll be back for you guys, and you know, you guys can check it out and let us know what you think then, and We'll see where this conversation leads us. But until then, if you enjoyed this episode, if you didn't enjoy this episode, if you are somebody who is in the bar and yells bar fight and then punches somebody, hit us up, let us know on socials, Instagram, Twitter, at @ViewAnonPod, Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can also make sure to comment on the YouTube videos. Also like, share, subscribe. And last but not least, join our Patreon, patreon.com/viewersanonymous. You too can join it for the low price of $2.99. You can get all of our behind the scenes extra episodes. And we got a lot more to come, possibly some merchandise. So y'all sign up now and get ready. If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me on Scoots Bronson. On Twitter at Scoots Bronson. I got a link to my bio. You can find me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at S.Foster8 on Instagram, X, and TikTok. That's where I put a lot of the clips up for the show. Also at 28 Minutes or Less Pod. That's just on IG. Follow the podcast 28 Minutes or Less. Last episode is still the heat is on, which my guy Scoop Brunson joined me, where we got into the whole Drake, Future, Kendrick Lamar, Metro Boomin' stuff. But that's all I got right now.
That's what's up, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. As usual, your support is always appreciated. Without you, there could be no us. Like I said, don't forget, sign up for that Patreon.
Donations.
And until the next episode, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.